Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Zayin, and we're holding the second line from the top of the Amud. Itmar, Achim Shecholku, you have a father, Rachman Litzlan, who passed away, and he left over two sons. Rishbam says we could be talking also about three sons. And what happened? The two sons had a Yerusha from their father, and they split it up. And after they did the split up, a bal choiv of the father went over to one of the two sons, let's call them Reuven and Shimon. He said, Reuven, Tati owed me money, here's the shtar, you owe it to me. And he took now the chelik from Reuven. Guess what? Now Reuven wants to collect from Shimon and say, Shimon, after all, you know, you're just like me. Just because we split it up, you know, doesn't take away from the fact that both you and I have to go and pay the debts of father. So what happens under these circumstances?
Was that field designated a potiki for that?
We're going to get to that in a moment. So we have now a three-way machlekes. We have Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Asi. Rav Omer Batla Machlekes, the original division that they did a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, all of that falls by the wayside. Since Reuven now paid off the Bal Choiv of his father, and Reuven says to Shimon, you also were indebted to go and pay that Choiv. Everything that we did until now is Batl Mavutl Ka'afra the Arab. We start all over again, and we're going to split up the estate of father from fresh. Shmuel says just the opposite, Viter. By the fact that they split it up, now they've split it up permanently, and I feel bad for Reuven, but nevertheless, Reuven and Shimon were both mevater on whatever happens subsequent to the splitting up of the estate, and now if Reuven lost part of the estate because of the Bal Choiv, too bad, so sad, but Shimon does not have to cough anything up to Reuven. Rav Asi makes a shtickle pshara. Rav Asi Omar noitel revia bekarka urevia bimois. The sound of it is that you have to go and pay back, that is, Shimon has to pay Reuven a quarter in karka and a quarter in mois. If you add that together, you get a half.
Yeah.
But what is that type of cheshem? This is revia bekarka, revia bimois. So stay tuned, we're going to explain this in another minute. Now that we have the three-way machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Asi, the Gemara explains. Rav Omer Botlo Machlokes. Why? Kosavar Hu Achen Shecholku Yorshinhein. Rav holds that the two brothers that split up the estate, they are Yorshim, and they remain Yorshim. Yeah, it's true that they split it up, but they received it Betoras Yerusha. And therefore, if subsequently the Bal Choiv comes to one of them, he can go and say, don't only come to me, you can come to Shimon. Why? And if he goes to Shimon, Shimon can send him to Reuven. They're both Yorshim, they're both Mechuyev to go and pay the debts of their fathers, even though they subdivided and split up the Yerusha. But nevertheless, they remain Yorshim. We'll explain what that means in a moment. Shmuel Amarvi. Shmuel says, no, that he was Mavater. What means he's Mavater? By the fact that they went and split it up. Then says the Gemara, Kosovar Achim Shechoku Lekuchois Habe. They are like Lekuchois. Ukalakayach Shalui Bachrayis Dami. What does that mean that they are like Lekuchois? So Rishbam explains, even though our Gemara doesn't go into this, but there's a fundamental machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not I hold Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. So taking Shmuel first, when you hold Ein Breira, what does that mean? That means the father left over a whole stack of wonderful assets, as well as Nebuch, some liabilities, but mainly assets for our purposes. And no asset belonged to Reuven more than to Shimon, or to Shimon more than Reuven. And even after they split it up, this was just because they worked out a deal between the two of them. And therefore, they are like Lekuchais. Lekuchais in the sense that there was a full barter over here. They took all of the assets, had them all appraised. This was worth more and this was worth less. And they came out at the end, Lemoshel, that the whole estate was worth $1,000. Each one is entitled to $500. Okay, so you'll take the Tati's beautiful kasa to use Kiddush, and you're going to go and take Mommy's beautiful Leichter, and you're going to go and take this piece of property here and this piece of property there. And so there was a barter and exchange. I'll take this, you'll take this. So it's like a regular moicher and lekeach, except that you're not paying money consideration, you're paying in kind. I'm going to pay for your kas by giving you the Leichter, or vice versa. So once they become like lechuchos, once they've split it up, that's the end of their relationship. I bought my stuff, you bought your stuff, and says Yimor, it's lekech shloi b'achrayis tami. There's no money back guarantees. And even though normally, says Rishbam, when we talk about any type of mechira, we say that achrayis toi is sofer, and therefore even if there's no achrayis spelled out in a document, when you have a mechira to lekeach, that's implicit. That when a person goes and buys a piece of property, he wants to make sure that the property belongs to the moicher, not that the moicher sold him the Brooklyn Bridge. And therefore, if he sold him the Brooklyn Bridge, then he has to pay him back his money. But says Rishbam, that's only when you're talking about a normal moicher and a lekech. Because the lekech is only going to buy from the moicher if he knows that the title is good and there's no problems. On the other hand, here we're talking about the chalukah of an estate. Here you don't say achray is Torah Sefer because nobody's making any representations vis-a-vis the property that he's giving or that he's taking. What do they know? They just know that the father, quote-unquote, owned the property. It might turn out at the end that Chas V'Shalom, the father stole a piece of property. Or maybe he borrowed it from someone. They don't know. So there's no way that they can go and give achrayis. So there is no achrayis. So now when Reuven took his chelik, fine, he bought it from Shimon. When Shimon bought his chelik, he bought it from Reuven. They become like lekuchos, lekoach shaloi b'achrayis, and that's the reason why Reuven cannot collect now from Shimon, because Shimon says, that part of the estate that I own, I bought it from you. Don't you remember we made that barter in exchange? Since I bought it, and there is no achrayis here, what belongs to me, what belongs to you, I feel bad that you lost the property.
But because there was an outstanding debt, can't we say there's kind of like a lien on the property?
Absolutely. On good. All the property, not just on Reuven's share, even Lekuchos, because like Lekuchos, since Lekuchos is normally Achrayus, it's even more powerful. Like that transaction was as it were, flawed.
They good. Shouldn't have allowed the transaction to proceed until they paid off the debts.
Talking about that they didn't know that there was a debt.
Mm-hmm.
If they knew it was a debt, they would have escrowed it in a separate account until the Baal Choyv comes on the scene. But the question that you're asking is similar to the question that Barry asked about 2 minutes ago, and I told him we're going to get to it. L'choyra, based on what's going on with Shmuel, Reuven must be very, very upset. Yeah. And Reuven says, why should I lose out? Moreover, when the Baal Choyv originally came to him, Reuven should go and say, why are you looking to me? I'm going to send you next door. You go to Shimon and bother him. Don't bother me. So why did Reuven pay out first and now he wants to collect from Shimon? He should have put the Baal Choyv, pushed him towards Shimon. At the very least told him, fine, I'll give you half, but get the other half from Shimon.
Yeah.
So the top Toisus is bothered by this. And the Toisus says that in fact there was an apoitiki. Apoitiki means that there was a mortgage lien on that particular piece of property. And so therefore the Baal Choyv had a right to go to Reuven. Reuven could have said, well, this is a debt of the estate. Let me talk to Shimon. And the Baal Choyv says, you can talk to whoever you want. You can talk to the president, etc. If that's a good idea, not that I leave to you. But the point is, since I have a mortgage on this property, I'm going to collect on my mortgage. You see the top choices. How can he go to Reuven exclusively? So even if the Baal Choyv doesn't want to deal with Shimon, but Reuven could say, you got to deal with Shimon, because we're both Yarshim, and the Choyv is on both of us.
And sue both of them, basically, as opposed to just suing Reuven.
Exactly right. Now, initially, before the Baal Choyv collects from Reuven, Reuven will call in Shimon into the litigation if the Baal Choyv refuses to go and file against both of them. He's only filing against Reuven, and then Reuven is going to go and bring in some sort of side action, a counterclaim, and he's going to bring in his brother Shimon. So now they're both defendants, and now we'll take from both of them. And then he goes off the Rishbam, not the Rishbam. The Tosis distinguishes between this apoitiki, another apoitiki. But the point is, since there's an apoitiki, there's a mortgage lien on this property. It's as if father passed away and the bank now wants to collect on its mortgage. And they come to Reuven. Reuven says, bank, you know, I'm not the only Yoyrish, go to Shimon. And the bank says, Mr. Reuven, I don't know who you are. I have a mortgage on this property, and I'm going to collect from this property whether you like it or not. Okay? So then the Baal Choyv collected from Reuven, but even though the Gabi, the lien, was only on Reuven's property, but the debt belonged to the entire Yerusha, and therefore that's why Rav says in our Gemara, Botel Machloikis, the whole thing is Botel Mavotel, and you start from square one. Whatever assets are left, we're going to split it up between Reuven and Shimon. Shmuel, however, says no. Since we're talking about Anapaitiki, presumably they knew about that at the time that they were going and dividing up the estate.
Reuven took a chance.
Exactly. He was speculating that the Baal Choyv fell asleep, or he couldn't find the shtar, or he didn't know what's going on, or whatever it is. And therefore, he presumably put that into part of his cheshbonis when he divided up the estate with his brother Shimon. So says Shmuel. Shmuel says, because Ein Breira, and because each one of them is now bartering and buying and selling, they're both lekuchos vis-a-vis the other guy. It's both lekuchos, and it's a lekeach. Shaloi b'achrayis. Therefore, Reuven loses out, and Shimon gains because of this whole configuration, the way this thing works.
Could you expand on why that's Ein Breira? Could you expand, please, on why that's Ein Breira? Why Breira would not make that work?
Okay, so now why is it, what's the nafkimina, whether it's your Breira or Nish Breira? Because if you say it's Breira, that means that even though when Reuven and Shimon divided up the estate, it was as a result of negotiation back and forth, I get this, you get that. However, when you say Breira, it's almost like you would call a legal fiction that you look upon this as if when father passed away, he wrote in his last will and testament that you, Reuven, are going to get property A, and you're going to get my kas, and you're going to go and get my gold watch. And Shimon, you know what you're going to go and get. You're going to get property B, and you're going to go and get the leichter, and you're going to go and get my silver Megillah holder. Even though he didn't leave any such document. But it seemed to be that that's what was nispar of the mafreya. Okay, so that's very good. But it's not a form of lekuchos. And since it's not a form of lekuchos, there was no barter exchange. I bought from you, I bought from you. If you say, like Shmuel says, that Ein Breira, and now we've had a series of mini transactions where I got the gold watch and I paid for that by giving you the leichter. And I got property A because I gave you property B. And then property B person says, I paid for property B by giving you property A. And then it's like regular lekuchos where you have
arm's length transactions.
And now after it's all done, we're finished. Nice knowing you. Well, hopefully we can continue to be nice brothers and siblings for many years to come. But financially, we're done. I bought from you half of the estate. You bought from me half of the estate because we had to buy because Ein Breira. That being the case, now that they are lekuchos, if and when the Baal Choyv takes away from Reuven, Reuven goes to Shimon and says, I want you to pay half of it. Shimon says, why do I have to? You know, I don't owe you anything. Well, we're Yarshim. We were Yarshim. That changed dramatically a half a year ago when we split up the estate, and now we became lekuchos. Os Yarshim. Where else does this make enough kimina, says Rishbam, when it comes in the times that Yovel was Noheg, when it came Yovel year, what do Yorshim have to do? So according to Rav, they don't have to do anything. They should continue the lives the way they lived until now. Because each one of them received their property, let's say we're talking about real property, they got that real property all the way back to Yeshua Ben Nun's time. Nothing has changed. Shmuel said, no. Since there was a barter and exchange over here, that each one is lekuchos, so then that's the achuzah, it's a stay mikna, and then it's going to come yovel year, you're going to have to go through the whole cheshbon, a redistribution, a reallocation, or from square one. According to Shmuel, I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work in yovel year, because you have many, many generations, unless you're talking about a mishpacha that only had one son from Yeshua ben Nun's time until today, that of course makes life much easier, because then he just held on to the property forever. However, if you had multiple sons anywhere in between, so each time it's been a stay mikna, each time you have to reallocate, each one because of the fact that l'kuch is out. Anyway, but that's not our Gemara. The point of our Gemara is that there's a fundamental difference if they are still called Yorshim even after the Chalukah, which is what Rav holds. And Rav says, he took away my property. We got to start from square one and take everything back and reallocate new appraisals, new lawyers, new etc. And after we subdivided, and then it'll be Sholem HaYisrael. Yeah. And Shmuel said already the first time that we allocated, we did a great job because they were Lekuchais, and each one bought from the other. And now, sayonara, nice knowing you, it's wonderful. Financially, we are totally independent now. I don't give a guarantee to you, you don't give a guarantee to me. If a Baal Chayiv comes to you, that's your headache. If a Baal Chayiv comes to me, that's my headache. And so on and so forth.
Just in the case of an apotiki, right?
Right, an apotiki.
If there is no apotiki, then it's a different story.
The difference is at the outset. In other words, when the Baal Chayiv approaches Reuven, Reuven says, why are you coming to me? Go to Shimon. I don't want to deal with Shimon. Fine. So I, Reuven, am going to bring in Shimon as a co-defendant and say to the Beis Din, whatever you decide is fine, but I'm only 50% on the hook. I'm not 100% on the hook. That is if
to defend himself without apotiki.
That's if there is no apotiki. But if there is an apotiki, unfortunately for Reuven, then he can go and grab that property. Presumably, Reuven knew about the fact that there was an apotiki on that. Perhaps if they taka both didn't know, maybe they would say it's a mekach tois. But again, our Gemara doesn't go into that level of detail. Our Gemara is assuming that they did have possession of all of the facts. According to Reuven, not according to Reuven, according to Rav, since Rav holds yesh breira, each one got his chelik, as if father specified, you get this and you get that. And now that part of it is taken away because of the fact that unfortunately the Baal Chayiv took away one of the properties from Reuven, so Reuven has the right to go to Shimon and say, mister, we didn't do a good job the first time around, we got to go and split up the estate all over again, put everything back in the same bank account, put everything back on the table, we're going to start from square one, new Chalukas who estate. Shimon, on the other hand, no. Viter, by the fact that they worked things out, ein breira, they're both lekuchoi zem mizeh. Normally, a lekech, I would say, gets a money-back guarantee. Over here, it's lekech shaloi bachrayis dami. And therefore, once they've split up the estate, we no longer have any financial responsibilities.
The lien doesn't go away, so...
The lien does not go away, that's correct. And it could be that Shimon has a property that has a lien for somebody else, too. In other words, that was one of the cheshbonos they made when they did the appraisal. I don't have to tell you that when you go and have a property and the property is worth $1,000, there's a mortgage for $700, you only have equity of $300. So presumably that's what the accountants wrote down. Okay, you get this property, you get $300. And how much is he getting? Well, he had also property with a lien on it, and his lien was $500. So therefore it's worth whatever. In other words, they presumably worked this out in their calculations. So now if Reuven wants to go to Shimon and say, oh, the worst has happened, I was hoping and praying it would never occur, but unfortunately the Baal Chayiv took away my property. Please, Shimon, shtel tzu, go and give something towards this givoy. If he tells him before the Baal Chayiv collected, fine. He's going to try to go and get him, because the mice are both on the hook for the chayvus of their father. However, if he paid off the lien, then he no longer has any taina to Shimon, because Shimon says, mister, viter, it's a lekeach, shaloi bachrayis, I don't owe you anything, you don't owe me anything.
And what if they found out only after they split up everything that there was a lien?
So I'm saying maybe we make a choice. And then they could say that maybe we'd start all over again because we didn't realize. Had we know? Could be. The Gemara doesn't go into that. You'd have to look in the Mefarshim, Shulchan Aruch, etc.
Just one quick question. You mentioned about Yovel, so if they're Chuzah, then you'd have to go you'd have to go all the way back to the previous Yovo.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to
branch off from there.
Yeah, branch, and that could have been from the previous. So it could be you have thousands of.
And that's what I'm saying. It would seem to me.
It
may be an earlier generation. See, that's.
Complicated, exactly.
Which is, by the
why
way,
is this Gemara, why is this Gemara here? It should be in the next. Feels like it should be in the next paragraph.
Wait, very good. Because remember, we started off yesterday, also with two prop with. If you remember, Itmar Shnei Achim Shecholku Bolehen Achim Shnei Siyam.
That should already be
true. So Rishbam already said, "Where's it coming in over here?" Because at the bottom of the Omen, if you remember, we had the last four lines. And remember, we learned about that the day before because we spoke about Tafas Loshen Achron. And because the last word that he said. Exactly. So, therefore, that's how the Gemara often works. We get a little bit off on a tangent and then we explore other items. Anyway, getting back to, we have Rav and Shmos. According to Rav, they were full fledged Yoshim forever. And therefore, when it's going to come, this Bal Chayv, you're going to have to do a bitl machloikis and start from square one. Shmuel, on the other hand, no. We had a svar of Ein Breira, and therefore everybody bought one from the other, the lekuchai, shlucha shaloi, bachrayis, and therefore Shimon doesn't have to pay the debt that Rav, that Reuven paid off.
Why didn't you say Ein Breira?
That's what we mean. One leads into the other. Because it's Ein Breira, that's why I kill the kuchais. If you look at, I see you all, everybody is kind of agitated about this.
The connection between those two qualities.
Okay, so look at the third real wide lines of the Rishbam. Kilikucha is damu. You got that?
The Ein Breira.
We have no Breira. I'm sorry, we got to look at the Rishbam. Ein Breira. Venim tishkol echa notel chilek ochiv, uki'ilu hechlifu ze bechelkoi shol ze domi. Each one took not only his chelik, but also his brother's chelik. What do you mean took his only brother's chelik? Because they made a chalipin. No,
yeah.
Both, if assuming that there were two pieces of real estate, each one owned both pieces of real estate. So the fact that I give you one and you give me the other is because we made a chalipin. Not a chalipin, you know, we made a barter between one and the other. So, the hainu lekuchais, that's a lekuchais. And you go into a store and you want to go and buy a candy bar. Well, do you have a dollar to pay for the candy bar? It used to be a nickel, right? Do you have a dollar? And I don't, but I do have a nice pen. Okay, fine. Give me the pen and I'll give you the candy bar. So are you going to tell me he's not a lekech? He's a bona fide lekech, but instead of paying in cash, he paid in kind. He gave the pen to get the candy bar. So here too, I'm buying field A. You have 50% of it. For your 50%, I'm going to pay you. How much are you going to pay? I don't have any cash, but I'll give you on my property. Oh, that's fine. So that's the same type of thing. He didn't give any money back guarantee on the property. It's as if each one said verbally to the other, "Any mekabel achrayis chelkecho alai." Dummy. It's as if he said that. It's implicit. Exactly right. When there's a real mechira, arm's length transaction, that even if the soifer left out the money back guarantee, it is implicit. Imloy pirish v'shtahara mechira, if he didn't write it out explicitly. That's when you buy a property. Am I crazy? I'm going to buy the property and afterwards I find out it doesn't belong to the mocher. It belongs to the government or belongs to somebody else. So that's why it's implicit. When you're talking about a Yerusha, with that same hanoah, the benefit that he has, that he's not being mekabel chrayis on the other guys. Gomer makmele v'chaveir chelke legamre shlo yekabel chaveir achrusi olav. Just like I am not taking a chrayis on his property, he's not taking a chrayis on my property. Lo yitishtabed lo yisadeu kehechad ditei lo yimishab lechaveir. It's even Stephen. I don't put a lien on you for a money back guarantee. You don't put a lien on me for a money back guarantee. We just have a straight division, 50-50, you take yours, I take mine. We retain our historic relationship as brothers and as siblings, but financially we now are totally independent. You do whatever you want with your property, do with my property, and Shalom Yisrael. So this is Rav and Shmuel. But now let's get to Rav Asi. Rav Asi, remember, said that Chutzi Noito Raviyah Bekarka Raviyah Bemois. So what is this for Rav Asi? He listened both to Rav and to Shmuel. He said, you know, what Rav says makes a lot of sense. And you know what Shmuel said? He also makes a lot of sense. So I don't know which way to basket. Should we go like Rav, Botla Machlaikis? Or should we go like Shmuel and say, sorry, I feel bad for you, but nothing we can do about it. Hilkach, and therefore, Noita Raviyah Mekarka Raviyah Bemois. So what is the Hilkach? How does that lead into it? So the Rishbam has two pshatim. Pshat number one is the pshat that he really likes. The second pshat, he says, that's, I believe, a mistake. I don't like that pshat, but I'm going to tell you my pshat. What is my pshat, Sir Rishbam? That when it says Noitel Raviyah Bekarka, don't read Uraviyah Bemois, quarter plus a quarter, but read Oy Raviyah Bemois. He doesn't change the gears, he leaves the gears the way it is. But he says, read it as if it said Oy Raviyah Bemois. And this is not the first time we find something like this in Shas. Rishbam reminds us of that famous Perek, Rav Gamliel, in Mesechtas Yevamos, where in the same Mishnah, and you don't even have to guess at the terms. If you look at the Rishbam in the middle wide lines, the Rishbam reminds us, Beperek Rav Gamliel, that we say about the Yovam, what happens? Osar Maimer, V'nosan Get, U'Boal. How can it be that he gave a Maimer and a Get, and afterwards he was boiled? Right. After all, they're Osar now. Bamrinan oi oi ktani means awesome maimer oi nothing yet oi ball. See here too.
It was an oi period.
It was an oi. It was big oi.
Had a backache or something.
if you wish. It was not an easy perik. It was quite a challenging perik. But getting back to Argamas, so this one it says noiter vi bekarka oi revia b'moy. So how does that help us? So Shbam says very beautifully, according to Rav, what do you have to do with the bitul machlekes? Shimon has to pay 50% of that debt. Whatever the debt was $100, $1 million, he's on the hook for half of it, and therefore he's going to have to refund half of it to Reuven. According to Shmuel, he doesn't have to refund anything. He just has to go and send him a card saying, I feel very bad for you, and tough luck, and then all my sympathies, and you know, I'm Yechem of Simchis. So, therefore you get nothing. Okay, so according to Rav, you get 50%. According to Shmuel, you get nothing. If you add 50 cents to nothing, you get 50%. Since I'm sapkele, if I hold like... So how much you get to then?
A
revia. Then you get a quarter. And therefore, it's a revia bekarka. So why is it a revia bekarka or a revia bemois? Says Rishbam, because although he, Uvein, paid off the choiv in karka, because he had no money, Shimon says to him, I feel so sad for you, my dear brother. You should have, as I told you, invest your money wisely, and therefore then you wouldn't have lost all of your cash. It's not my fault that you went to Vegas or to Atlantic City or something, you have no cash left. You gave him all the property, okay, Gesundheit. Either I will go and give you now half of the half that I owe you, which according to Rav Asi is only a quarter. I'm going to give that to you in karka. You paid our karka, I'll give you karka. Or, if I have money, I'll give you money.
Why, according to the Vasi, this is moment number Moitel Basof?
Because he's Masafik. He's Masafik.
This Masapkele, his Safik is, should I pass him like Rav or like Shmuel? I love, I think he's both of them torn. Are Joyli Hador, he's torn. Rabbi Kiva Eger Paskin one way, the Chsam Soifa Paskin one way. What should I do? So I'm going to go and take the middle route. Since, according to Rav,
you're allowed to do that.
Ravasi did it. Ravasi did it.
I think he has the.
I'm not saying that we have that allowance today.
We don't have that.
No, you can't go choose between two rabbanim. He says that this is Shuman. He says this is Chaylev. You know what? I'm only going to eat half of it, so I won't have a problem. That you can't do.
This is Sumchas, because we had before, with Sumchas only has a question.
It's a fact, not if it's exactly. That's true too.
Oh, Sumchas.
No, it's not Sumchas.
It's not really Simchas.
Right, because Simchas, right, it's right. If you nizik or bari, mazik or shem, mitzvah of a raya. That's the case in Shreshem.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We don't know the facts.
We don't know the facts. Here we don't know the law. Okay.
It's a parallel
right,
structure.
Why can we say here also mazel, like with the wine? It's, you know,
that's basically what Shmuel is saying. He's saying, I feel very bad, but you took the wrong property, and you took, you know, you were conjecturing, you were hoping, you were praying that nobody's ever going to pray on your property.
The guy's washed away to sea, he'll never come back, and I'll just escape with the whole thing.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Anyway.
It happens a lot.
So that's Rabasi says, since I don't know whether Rav is right, Yorshim Hava, or Shmuel is right, Lekuchas Hava, if I'm just going to split it. What am I going to split? Instead of paying Shimon, paying to Ruvain, the full 50%, he's only going to pay 25%. Now he also has the option to say, since I would have paid the whole thing in cash, I would not have given real estate. So instead of giving you real estate, I can go and give you cash. I can do either one, whichever you prefer, or whichever I prefer. But the point is, it's oy Revi Bekarka, oy Revi Bemois, and that's the pshat that the Rishbam prefers over the other pshat. Amra Papa, now that we have this three machloikis, how do we paskin? Hilchasa b'chol hanishmaitza mekamtzin. What's mekamtzin all about? We had that yesterday. Where did we have it yesterday? So if you go back to the middle of the Amud Beis, you have the two dots there in yesterday's Amud Beis. Itmar shneyachim shecholku, Reuven and Shimon split up an estate. There were six properties altogether. He took three, and he took three. And then Levi comes from Medina Sayyam, together with Edim and documents to show that he is a bona fide blood brother of the two, and therefore he wants a third of the estate. So what do you do now? So Rav said, you start from square one. Take all the assets, all the six properties, put them on the table, and split them up again, 2-2-2. Shmuel Amar, no, you don't have to do that. What you do is, of the three properties that Reuven has, let Reuven give one to Levi. Of the three properties that Shimon has, let Shimon give one to Levi. And now each one will have two. You'll have two. So what Mekamtzin really means to go and adjust the amounts that each one previously received, not to start from square one, leave it in place the way it is, but make these minor adjustments or major adjustments, and you have to go and give a third away, you give a third away, and now the third brother will be able to go and have his own chelik. So now, back to our Gemara, Amar Papa Hilchasa B'chol HaNishmaitza Mekamtzin. And therefore he's saying it's not only in yesterday's Gemara, but in today's Gemara as well. According to Rav, that Rav holds that you have to go, Reuven has to go and pay back Shimon, when he says, Batla Machloikis, either Rav holds this way, or Rav Papa is saying, we don't paskin like that, Rav, to go and be Mavatla Machloikis, to start again, but rather Mekamtzin. Everybody should retain what they have, and then Shimon should just cough up the 50% that he has to go and pay to Reuven. So therefore, don't do Batla Machloikis.
So Ravasi is the Mekamtzin in today's Gemara, which yesterday Shmuel was the Mekamtzin, and say Rav Asi is the Mekamsen,
okay,
as it were.
Fine.
He's not saying halacha like Shmuel, he's saying halacha is Mekamsen. Mm-hmm. Whoever is the Mekamsen is the one we're going to paskin like.
Exactly.
Okay.
But Amema disagrees, and Amema about the machlokes. No. Anytime you have a situation like this, either by the Ach, or this case now of the Ach and Shechok, when it came to Baal Choyv, you got to start from square one. But the machlokes. You can't just say Mekamtzin, okay, I'll make an adjustment, I'll give you a little bit to go and salve your wounds, I'm going to go and pay up 50% of the amount that he took away. No. I lost this beautiful piece of property that I was hoping to work on, therefore, let's start from scratch. We'll split up other pieces of property, etc. Okay. New case.
I think that the halacha is not like Shmuel, because
the Shmuel Bedina, right.
But Mamanes halacha is always like Shmuel.
Typically.
It's an exception to the rule.
Yeah, exactly. This would appear.
So the Rambam has a little base there by Shmuel.
Mm-hmm. But it has an aleph by Rav Amar Batla Machlokas.
Okay, so if you want halacha lemaisa, we're going to have to take out all of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and see how they paskin. Zokti Mar Tan Rabban.
Father left a peruta.
Nachmul?
What if he left a peruta?
A peruta? Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
If he only left a pruta, then there's nothing to
there's
split.
No smaller coin than that.
Exactly. So then he'll be stuck. The Baal Chayv will be stuck. Okay, from here on, It's a much smoother sailing, if you will. Shloisha Shiordu L'Shum. You remember we spoke about yesterday briefly about Shum HaDayonim, that the Yonim who are trying to oversee an estate, Nebach for Yisoymim, normally don't sell any property, but every once in a while you have to sell property for Mozenu Ishiva Bonois, for basic obligations and to have room and board and food. See you later. Okay, so now they're making a Shuma. Shuma means that they are now... Please take it. I don't want it to be any machlekes over here.
Butler machlekes.
Butler machlekes.
Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Yeah. Yeah. You see, it's fleishik. You know what I mean? It's the real thing.
All right, everybody.
The power of translated stuff.
Anyway, so we called over three dayanim to go and make a shuma. Shuma means to make an appraisal of the estate of the property. And these dayanim don't have to be dayanim with long beards and payas. These could be three balabatim that think they know all about appraising real estate. Okay, so you have three people getting together to do the shuma. And now there's a difference of opinion between them. One of them says, I think this property is worth 100. The other two think that it's worth 200. So we have two against one. Or the other way around. I think it's worth 200. And the two others say that it's worth a mana. Again, it's two against one. Two against one, says Rishbam. That's the classic. Exactly. It's not a question. He's saying that's the halacha. Now, here it gets a little bit more complicated. And therefore, the first halacha that we just said now is really
a setup.
I wouldn't say it's an introduction. So what's the next case? Echad Oymer, we're going to have three separate viewpoints among the three Dayan. By the way, when I was learning with my son Ben Zion last night, Ben Zion happens to be he's a real estate mortgage broker, in case anybody needs to get a mortgage broker. So very often, the bank requires an appraisal, and he says you can get two appraisals, and he spoke, and they were totally different. This one says that the property is worth $100,000, the other one says it's worth
$200,000. It's an art, it's not a science, really.
So he said, how could that be? So he spoke to the appraisers, and each one they explained to him that you could validly say that it has two separate values. Why? One is going to be based on IRR, and one's going to be based on income stream, and one's going to be based on history and comparables. Yeah, etc. So there are many different factors that
the framework in which you look at it determines the value.
They're supposed to take in all those things and then weight them, depending.
He weighs one more against the other. Yeah, exactly. So it's not that anybody's making a mistake, so to speak. It's each one, it says, based on my experience and my understanding of the property, I think this is how much I would be willing to pay. The other one says, not. I see that the trend in the market is going up, it's going down, and therefore a different amount. So none of these...
Was paying you also.
That's a different story. Okay. Is it a mocher or is it a lekeach, right?
It's like the present case today.
Yeah.
The former president says Mar-a-Lago's worth $1.5 billion.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And
the judge says worth $100 million, right?
The experts rated it
18 million.
Okay, sometimes there it's just in your mind, right? Anyway, so you have over here three separate dayanim. Echad oimer b'mana, it's worth 100. V'echad oimer b'esrim. Esrim means that it's worth 80. V'echad oimer b'shloishim, the other one says it's worth 120. The reason why we talk about Esrim being worth 80 and Shloishim being 120 is because we're talking like 4 dinrim to the shekel. Uh-huh. And so therefore when it says over here 20 means 20 shkolim, 4 dinrim to a shekel, 4 times 20 gives you 80. When you have the Shloishim, you have the 30 shkolim, where how many dinrim do you have to shekel? 4 times 30 is 120. And as far as the mana is concerned, the mana has in it 100 dinrim. So the mana has 100 dinrim, the 20 has 80 dinrim, and the shloishim has 120. So we have three separate views as to this property. Is it worth 80, 100, 120? Now we're going to have three views as who are we going to follow. There's obviously no achri rav lahatos, no two against one. So the Tanakhama says, nidon b'mana. We're going to split it down the middle. He says 80, he says 100, 120.
Averages.
For sure. Exactly. So therefore, we're going to do the 100. Reb Lezer, Reb Tzadik, Oymer. I think it should be Reb Lezer, Reb Tzadik. It says Reb Lezer, Reb Tzadik, Oymer. Nidoin b'tishim. We're going to have the middle ground over here is going to be 90. Why? We'll see in a moment. Acherim oymerim oysin shuma beineim u'mishalshin. We're going to do a shuma beineim. Shuma beineim explains Rishbam. We'll see more in the Amud Beis. we're going to take the lowest of the three figures, which is 80. We're going to take the highest of the three figures, which is 120. How much is 120 minus 80?
40.
We're now, Mishal Shemineim, we're going to go and now take a third of 40. How much is a third of 40?
13
and a third. And therefore, the amount that we're going to set as the appraisal value,
93 and a third.
We're going to add that to the 80, add 13 and a third, 93 and a third. Hazei Zahu, we'll talk about this more on the Amud Beis. In the meantime, we're now analyzing these three views. Remember, the Tanakhama said it's going to be a mana, which is smack in the middle, 100. Man the yama nidim a mana, milta mitziyasa. We're taking the average in between, or the median in between. He said 80, he said 120, he says 100, and therefore we're going to take the 100. And the Rishbam says on the Amud Beis, and there's a svara here too, according to the Tanakhama, because he's saying at least one of the three, we are validating his opinion, we're saying he is correct. And the other two are off by a little bit. The 100 is the real value. The 90 is off by 10. And the 120, the 80 is off by 20. And the 120 is off by 20. But basically, it's mana. And therefore, we're going to leave it like that. And that's one way of looking at it. But there's another way of looking at it as well, says Rishbam, that it's also a two against one situation. How do you have two against one situation?
Mana Esrim.
So therefore, both Mr. Number 2 and Mr. Number 3, the one that said it's worth 100, and the one that says 120, both agree that it's worth 100. Very good. On the other hand, but the other person says it's only worth 80. So maybe it's worth more than 100, because you're saying it's based on the 100 and the 120. So maybe it's not worth 110, like the 120 man says. Says Rishbam, we look at it the other way as well. That both the 80 man and the 100 man both hold that it's not worth more than 100. So therefore it's 2 against 1 once again. So the first 2 against 1 is 2 and 3 together say it's worth at least 100. He holds Mamash 100, he holds 120. Ishbukal Masayimah. So why don't you go and say maybe it's even worth more than 100? Because number 1 and number 2 say it's no maximum 100, not more than that. So it's 2 against 1 both ways, right? Very smart. Anyway, so that's how it works out according to Tanakhama. Reb Loza, Reb Tzadik, Oyman Nidoin Betishim. We're going to go and pask in 90. How do we get 90? Kasavar Ha Ara, onto the Yamit Beis. It's really Tishin Shav. It's really worth 90. Behind the Ka'amar Esrim, the one that said that it's worth 80, remember 4 times 20 is 80, the Katoi Asar Lachire. He made a mistake, 10 in one direction. He thought that it was worth only 80, but it really was worth 90. Behind the Ka'amar Manan, the one that says 100, Utagatoi Asar Lachameh. He's making a mistake of 10 forward. So the real price is 90. He's off by 10, and he's off by 10. So therefore, that's why I'm choosing 90. And the obvious question is, but we're leaving out
the 120
guy. Why is he? Why did we throw him to left field? I mean, after all, he's also a choshev person. So tomorrow, other rabbi, why don't we just say the opposite? I ara meyavi asora shavya, that it's 110 and make the same cheshvan. Mahaydekom amana katoy asora lachirei. He was 10 behind. He should have said 110. He said 100. Mahaydekom shloishin, the one that says 120 katoy asora the kama, the exact same cheshvan. And for the Gemara, the koit mias trei kamoi biyodach, the mitoidus mono le mafkile. Chap on the first two, as opposed to number three, because they don't leave toidus mono. Now what does it mean they don't leave toidus mono? They do leave toidus mono. After all, the 80 person said it's not worth 90, he made a mistake by 10. And the 100 person, okay, you could say yesh b'chal masayim mono on that. So the bottom line is, the Gemara really doesn't say it, but we have the benefit of the Rishbam. The Rishbam says, I'll tell you very simply, it's like throughout Shas, whenever we have a Shala, which number should we take? Tafasta Maruba Loi Tafasta, Tafasta Miyuta Tafasta. I have a Shala over here. I am convinced, says her blood of Ratzotik, that 2 out of the 3 got it, but they were off by 10. The third one is really out in left field in terms of his number. It really doesn't have any semblance of reality to it. So now, which one should I pick? Should I pick that the 80 guy is out in left field, or should I say the 120? Tafasta merubali tafasta, tafasta miyut tafasta, and therefore I'm going to hop on the 80 and the 100, and each one made a mistake of 10, and therefore it's going to be 90 down the middle, rather than take 100 and 120, because then I'm being toifis the meruba, when I only should be toifis the miut. So therefore, back to our...
In reality, these, we're talking about selling a piece of property.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, shouldn't it depend on if they sell it for 100, 120, 110, and it sells for the Yisomen benefit? I mean, what's the horror of appraising it higher? What are they?
Normally, you always have to have a period of achrasta, right, where you have to put it out in the post office, send out emails viral to everyone that this property is available. We're going to have an auction in 30 days. People should come and inspect and schnell and all that. So then, of course, the property is going to be valued at whatever the market is.
Exactly.
100%.
So to appraise it for lower, you're basically giving it away. You're cheating the Yisomim.
So by Mazon Ishva Banis and other things, the Gemara says, where there is an immediate need, for instance, if you have to go and pay the taxes, you have to go and pay the grocery bills, things like that, you don't have the option to go and wait to have people go and send in bids. Exactly. So time of the essence, we asked these three appraisers, you've been in the business for 20 years, what do you think? Well, I think it's
for a quick sale, this is how you get it.
Exactly. Right. If ultimately there is competition at the sale and somebody's willing to give more, they take more, no question about it.
And if they auction, just as a side point, they auction the property for 90, 80, whatever, and it doesn't sell, what happens then? They can't sell. Is the Beis Din a shekel to not sell it for less than the appraised value?
I'm assuming that they have to do something for these poor Yisraelim. Maybe they can go and borrow money from a bushka or something. Right. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, says Okti Gemara. So why didn't we go and take the 100 and 120? Because Nekoit Mies Tre Kamoi Biyodach, the Mitorius Monolay Mafkile, which Rishbam says means that Tefasta, Miuta Tefasta, but Tefasta Meruba Loi Tefasta.
What is the Koit Kamoi? The Mitorius Mana Lo Mafkile.
Right. So they both are closer to the Mana figure than the 120, who is far off in left field, that said something which is exaggerated. Okay. It doesn't sound like it's real.
Very common in real estate.
It doesn't sound... there's a former president that had that problem, right? Okay. Achayim Oimrim. Now we're getting to the third view over here. Oysin Shuma Beinein Umishalshin. What did we say? What does that mean? Kosover Hayara Tishin Utlosa Vitilse Shavya. Oh. The real value is not 100 like the first Mandiyamah, not 90 like the second Mandiyamah, but it's really worth 93 and a third. So how do you get to that? So remember, the way we got to it was we took the 120, we subtracted the 80, we got 40, we took a third. That's the Mishalshin. And what do we do with that third? We attach it to this Mr. Number 80, and 80 plus 13 and a third gets you to 93 and a third. So that's what he says, Ayaratishin Tlosa Vitilza Shavi. Haideka Omer Esrin Katoi Tlaser Vitilza Lachoyre. He made a mistake of 13 and a third by saying that it's only worth 80, it's really worth 93 and a third. The one that said mana is also katoi tleiser v'tiltza likamei, 13 and a third in the other direction. Is that really right?
No.
93 and a third, if there's a mistake of 13 and a third.
6 and 2 thirds.
So how much should it be then? It should be 106 and 2 thirds. Freitimara, so why did he say 100? He should have said 106 and 2 thirds. He really should have said 106, and that's what he really feels in his heart, that it's 106 and 2 thirds. V'haidra ka'omar, you know why he didn't say that? Sover mistoi, mistoi means his genuk, it's enough to come at fina kuli hai achavroi. What's going on over here? Says Rishbam, nobody wants to be looked upon as being an idiot or a fool, and he figures, since I know that the other guy is saying 80, and since I know that the Bezin's going to say 93 and a third, because that's a person is Toa, 13 and a third. If I'm going to go and say 106 and two thirds, everybody goes, come on, give me a break, come on. You're an experienced appraiser of 20 or 30 years, and you think it's worth 106 and two thirds. This fellow, he's also experienced, he says it's only worth 80, and he really made a mistake, it's 93 and a third. But you're going totally in left field, 106 and two sixths. And two thirds. And therefore he says, you know what, I'm just going to say 100 so that I don't look like I'm coming from outer space. Zokti Mara, So that's the reason why we tag on the 13 to 3rd, because people make mistakes about 13 to 3rd. So he is said 80, he really means 93 and a third, and the one that said 100 really meant to say 106 and two thirds. So split down the middle gets you to your 93 and a third. Frey Timura, the same kash as we asked before, why are we only focusing on the 80 and the 100 person guy? Why don't we focus on 100 and the 120 guy? Adra baha ara, why don't we say it's Meya Utleiser Utlasa Shavya? I'm okay with saying that a person makes a mistake of 13 and a third. That's fine. But don't start now as the bottom price and add 13 and a third to 80, add 13 and a third to 100, and say that the price of this property is really worth 113 and a third. And make that's going to be your final decision. And Haidik Omer Manan, the one that said 100, Katoit Leser Utlasa Lachayre, or Tiltsa Lachayre, he made a mistake of a 13 and a third in one direction by saying it's 100 when it's really worth 113 and a third. V'haidik Omer Shloishim, the one that said that it's worth 120, he's also Toit Leser Betiltsa Lekameh. And now you're going to go and say, one second, the difference between 120 and 113 and a third, that's not 13 and a third, that's only it's 6 and 2 thirds. So what should he really be saying? He should be saying that it's worth 126 and 2 thirds, right? Because he's making a mistake of 13 and a third in one direction, the other guy's making a mistake of 13 and a third in the other direction. So he said 100, and therefore it's really worth 113 and a third. The other person said 120 should have said it's worth 126 and two thirds, and since he made a mistake of 13 and a third, that's how he got to 113 and a third. The truth of the matter is, if you could go and look in his mind, in his heart, he taka holds that it's worth 126 and two thirds. But Sovar, he felt, now the Gemara is repeating the same svar as before, Bistoi, it's enough. If I say 120, I already look like I'm in out of space. He said 80, he said 100. I'm saying 120. Even though I really in my heart believe that it's worth 126 and two thirds, I'm willing to say 120, that I don't look totally
ridiculous.
Good. So why don't we say that instead of making your compromise at 93 and a third, let's make our compromise at 113 and a third. And the Gemara gives again the same terrors as before. They quite mias trekamoidit biyadach to mitreus meyoloi mafkile. Meaning, once again, the tefasta miut tefasta maruba loy tefasta. I had the opportunity. It's certainly a compromise somewhere among these three numbers. I'd rather go with the smaller two numbers, the one and the two, rather than going with the two and the three. Okay, how do we paskin in all of this? Amravuna aloch kachin, we're going to paskin like the third man the Amar that says that it's 93 and a third. Amravashi, Ravashi heard that from Ravuna, and he says, Taimada chedum liyadinan, hilchasa avdinan kavusayu. I don't really understand how this magic works, how this formula works. The first Mandi Yomar I understand perfectly. Right? You have the 80, the 100, 120. Right. You take the Yovia Kosher, the middle, the golden path down the middle, 100. That makes a lot of sense. Even the second Mandi Yomar I can understand because I have here three figures. Since I only have the right to fasta, miu to fasta, not to fasta, fasta meruba.
90 centers on the lower two.
Exactly. Of the lower two, between the 80 and the 100, I'll split down the middle, I get 90. Okay, that makes also sense. That's fine, whether I agree with it, but at least I understand the logic. But the third mandiyama says, take the highest figure, subtract the lowest figure, you get 40. Now take a third of that, and add that to the lower figure. Why do you take a third, and where does this come from? If you're discounting the whole 120 anyway, you're only going with the 80 and the 100, because it's fasta miyuta.
So just drop to 90, and that's it.
Yes, exactly. So then it's 100 minus 80 gets you 20. Split that down the middle, so it'll be like the second mandiyama, like a rabbi to rabbi tzadik. Says Rav, I don't understand the arithmetic. I don't understand the logic behind it. So Rav Huni is saying, Aloch kacherim, time the chem liyavdin. I cannot possibly join you and say we paskin like a chayim because I don't understand that. And now the next two lines is a total repeat performance. Tonu Dayani Goyla. Dayani Goyla, as we know, is Shmuel and Karna. That gets us into a problem. Shmuel and Karna, both Amiroim, why would say Tonu? And that's why the Aleph, the Bach, changes it from Tonu to Dayani Goyla Amri. What is the Dayani Goyla Amri? Oisin Shum Beneyam Umishalshin. Just like Achirim said, Amravuna Hilchas Yani Goyla, I paskin like Shmuel and Karna. we're going to go and do 93 and a third. Ravashi, time the Yanagoyli, and then I don't understand where they're coming from. I'm not going to follow their halacha. Yeah. Just doesn't make sense to me. So therefore, at the end, we have a machloikis between Ravuna and Ravashi, whether
we're
we should follow.
We're not contemporaries. If it's Ravuna, the elder, they were not getting much earlier generation.
Ravuna was a Talmud of Rav, right? And Shmuel was a contemporary.
Ravashi is the last generation of Amoraim.
For sure. That's certainly true. Okay, on to the next Mishnah.
So,
yes.
There is some sense of it because you're taking the 40 and you're saying there's 40 differences.
So split it up three ways.
You're taking the variation. The question, are you looking at the variation? You're looking at the absolute numbers. Mm-hmm. Are you basing it on the variation and then moving that over to the absolute numbers? Are you taking the absolute numbers and looking just at them? Mm-hmm. That's basically the approach.
Okay. So you like Rav Huna. See, that's why
it's Rav Huna.
Exactly. We had yesterday also, 2 days ago, you were Rav Huna, we said the same gematria, right? Rav Huna and Brother Shai. Very good. Okay. On to the next Mishnah.
Homer Lechavero.
I can't talk about Lechavero. He can't listen. He's in the middle of... Amen. Very good. On to the next Mishnah. Oim Lechavero. Chatzi soda ani moichaloch. Reuven says to Shimon, you see, I have this beautiful field. I'm selling you half of the field. Says the Mishnah, Misham de Menayim, and Noitel Chatzi Sodeo. What does that mean, Misham de Menayim? We'll see in the Gemara in a moment. That's going to be a very hot issue between Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Reb Yoichanan. What means Misham de Menayim? So we'll wait till we get to the Gemara. Similarly, he says to him, I'm not telling you Chatzi Sodeo. Chatzi Sodeo, Menoitel, I'm sorry. Misham de Menayim, Noitel Chatzi Sodeo. Period. What happens? He says, I'm Lechaber, Chetzi Bedorim Ani Moichaloch. I'm selling you half in the Dorim in the southern side of the field. Again, Misham de Menayim, Menoit Lechetzi Bedorim. You have to go and be Misham de Menayim. I don't know what that means. And you take your half in the Dorim and finish. The who? Now, this is a separate halacha. As far as the Moicher is concerned, since he's giving him or selling him half of the field, a half of a field needs a gather around it. It needs a fence around it. Until now, we had a fence around the entire field. But now we're splitting it down the middle. So the person that has that second field, he who's getting half, he also needs protection against Chayis and against Behemoth. So therefore, the who makabel of the who is referring to the Moicher, he's makabel that he gives the Lokeach not only the field itself, that Chatzi Soda, but an additional shtikla for Mokim Geder to put up a fence, also a shtikla to put in a trench called a Charit, Uven Charitz, and a smaller, narrower trench. The Kamahu Charitz, can you tell me the dimensions? The dimension of the Charitz is Shish Tvachim, it's 6 Tvachim, that means 1 Amma wide. Uven Charitz Ishloisha is 3 Tvachim wide. That's what he has to give in addition to a Mokim Hageder for the Lekeach that's buying half of the field. Good. We're going to talk about that more in the
Gemara. So in addition to half the field, he also loses an arm and a half.
Not that he loses, but that's an automatic freebie that goes along with it. He knows, just like when you go, until a couple of years ago here in Manhattan, he's trying to be bored. You got your plastic bag or your paper bag. You don't get that anymore. You got to pay extra. You get a freebie. You get the Mokim Geder, the Charitz, and Ben Charitz. Brother Shai, have a wonderful day. We're looking forward to seeing you on the Zoom shortly.
Okay.
So now, the main problem of our Gemara, not the problem, the issue that we have to deal with, what means Misham Nin Bein Nehan? What is the definition? Om Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Om Reb Yochanan, Lekeach Noitel Kochus Sheboy. Lekeach gets the weaker or the schwacher of this field. Meaning, I have a field over here. The field was not uniform in terms of its quality. Part of it was idius, a superior part of the field, and part of it was ziburius, which was unfortunately an inferior part of the field. However, he said, I'm selling you the chatzi soda. So what does that mean? Can he give him only ziburius or not? So says Rabbi Yochanan, noitul kochus sheboy. In fact, he does take the shvacher apart, the ziburius. He gets only the ziburius. The Mishnah says, Mishamna meinei, Mishamna, that's the Lashon Shuman. We're going to give him some gishmaka, some fatty pieces, not just the kochush, the thin, lean piece. That doesn't make sense. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba that was quoting Rabbi Yochanan, but he's now asking his Rabbi, Rabbi, whatever you tell me is emes v'yatsev, I have no problem, but I want to understand. And what you're saying is he gets the kochush, so where is the Mishamnin? So Rabbi Yochanan was a little bit critical of his Talmud. Amalein, he said, Ad achlis kafnaisa b'bavel, when you were vacationing and having a good time eating dates in Bavel, targimna misefa. We in Eretz Yisrael were muching tzach. We struggled, and we figured out the pshat based on the sefer. Now, before we continue on, what are we going to see from the sefer? What is Rabbi Yochanan's teret? Rabbi Yochanan is saying, says the Rishbam, Avada, since he said, I'm giving you chatzi sod, he has to give him half of the sod. However, we're talking about value. We're not talking about the specific geographics. And therefore, he is entitled to go and give him the ziburious part of the field.
Right, it's large enough to compensate for the value of it being ziburious.
Exactly right. So if one third of, let's assume the whole field is worth $100, just make it easy, $100. Let's assume that the idiot's portion only occupies 25% of the property, but it's worth $50. Let's assume the kochish, the ziburious portion, occupies two-thirds or three-quarters of the property, but it's worth $50. The mocher is entitled to give the lekeach the entire ziburius as long as it's worth $50. And that's the misham the mineim, that we go and appraise the value, make sure that the kochish that he gets is worth 50%. But he doesn't have to give midius. Unless, of course, it's not enough ziburius, he may have to throw in some midius. But the point is, we're talking about value. So, asks now Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, how do you know, Rabbi? I'll tell you. Let's look at the sefer, diktoni sefer. Chetzi bedorim ani moichalach. I'm selling you half in the dorim. Misham de minayim, the noitzel chetzi bedorim. Freitum of amai, misham de minayim. V'chetzi bedorim, amalei. Here it's not a question of, he just said, I'm selling you a chatzi soda. He says, I'm selling you a chatzi soda bedorim. Hand over the dorim, the half, either the half in the dorim or half of the dorim. What is this lashon of misham de minayim? So therefore, vos meinte, el ledami. What he means is the value of the chetzia bedoroim. Hachanami here too, when it says misham de minayim the reisha, it means half of the value. That's the chatzi soda. Rishbam adds, what do I learn now based on this interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan? Says Rishbam, that even though he told him in the Mishnah, chetzi bedorim ani moichalach, he doesn't have to give him even one square inch in the dorim. He can go and give him the tzofayim, the mizrach, the mar of the dorim, anywhere within the property.
That's what he said. Based on the chetzi bedorim.
Based on the value of the chetzi bedorim. If we discover that the chetzi bedorim is worth $85, give him now $85 worth in this property, whether it's in the Tzofin, the Mizrach, the Mar, makes no difference, as long as it's worth the $85. So the same thing in the Reisha as well. When he said, Chatzi Sodani Moichalach, he didn't mean geographically the right side, the left side, the northern side, the southern side. I'm giving you the value of Chatzi Soda, and I'm allowed to pay you that value of Chatzi Soda in Ziburius, even totally in Kochish. So that's what the Misham the Minayim is. Now, getting on to the second part, where he has to go and give a freebie of the Mokim Geder, Charitz and Ben Charitz, what's this all about? Mekabalam Mokim Geder v'chuli, Tana, Charitz mi b'chutz, uven Charitz mi b'fnim, v'zeh v'zeh achori geder. So, wherever the property line ends, where he gives him that 50%, now he has to add some few inches, whatever it takes for the geder. You're going to ask, what's the width of the geder? Then you get back to the first Mishnah in our Masechta. It depends on the local custom, whether they use Levenim or they use an Aris, whatever the Lashon
of the Mishnah was. Yeah.
Chatzi Levenim,
right? A couple weeks ago, right?
Ariach Levenim.
Right.
Or was it Avonim? He had four different sizes over there. We had Gozes, and we had Gevil.
Right.
You see the second line. Mokshinog, Livnois, Gevil, Gozes, Kfisim, and Levenim. So whatever that meaning is, that's the Echoyre Geder. Okay, that's the Geder. Now, beyond the Geder, in other words, beyond the field that he sold him, and beyond the Geder, now he has to add on to that a Charitz, which is 6 Tvachim, and a Ben Charitz, which is 3 Tvachim. How much is 6 and 3? 9 Tvachim. And we're going to see him more in a moment. Then in between them, there also has to be a space of 1 Tefach. So it's 10 Tvachim altogether, in addition to the Mokoyim HaGeder. Makam Geder, whatever that is, based on that first Mishnah. Then, in addition to that, a Charitz of 6, a space of a Tefach, and then a Ben Charitz of 3 Tefach. So how did that work in terms of what was the formation? After the Geder, you have the Charitz. and charitz mi bachutz.
Which side are you going from?
Exactly. Oh, no, you're asking, not telling me. Charitz mi bachutz, then charitz mi bifnim.
A charitz
is a trench.
A little ditch, a little ditch.
A ditch, ditch in the ground. Right, it's a
depression. What, a depression.
Why do you need a depression?
Oh, very good. That's saying more in the Amud Aleph. That's a very, very good question. So, what do you need the charitz and the ben charitz for? Says it's more at the top. You need that kedei shloi tehei chayy kifetzes. I'm nervous about the fact that chayis are going to go and invade my property. So that's why I have a getter around my property. But now that I'm selling half of it, the person who's buying that half, he needs a getter around his property. Okay, he probably has from two or three sides, but at least from the fourth side. So I have to give mokum getter so he can build a getter, and so that the chayis doesn't jump in. Now what's the reason why I need the charitz and the ben charitz? Zakti Gemara v'levit. Oh, so look at the top Rishbam. The reason why I needed the charitz and mecharitz kedei shloitehei chay kafetzes ala geder. What happens if you have a chay, which is not a big elephant, but rather a small weasel or whatever that tend to go and eat the crops and stuff like that? It'll give a jump on top of the geder and goes to the top, and from the geder it's going to jump down. So I need the charitz or ben charitz so that it cannot stage itself to go and jump that high. In other words, presumably to the top of the geder, let's say it's 10 tefachim.
Right.
Let's say the average chaya is able to go and jump up 10 tefachim. So you make the charitz. It doesn't say how deep the charitz has to be, but presumably you have to make it 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 tefachim deep, so that when the chaya is at the bottom of that charitz and charge it, he can't get to the top because it's just too high. Ah, so why don't you just make one charitz or ben charitz? That's what Gemara is going to now address.
What is the position of the two charitz, wide and narrow?
Oh, that's the next Gemara. Your mom is mecham to the ganze Gemara. Kadesh leitei chaya kafetzes. Veitim of eleven charitz, vle eleven ben charitz. What do you need both for? Just make the charitz. Ayli de rovach kaima begavei vekoftza. Since it is rather wide, because it's 6 tefachim wide, this charitz, so then what the animal can do is it can kind of walk back 1 or 2 tefachim in the charitz and try to stage itself and then jump. Give a sprint, just like a sprinter.
What is the position of the wide and the narrow? I don't understand. Oh,
when that's not done. V'levet ben charitz, v'levet charitz, v'levet ben charitz, ayde de ravach, kaimim v'gavei v'kofza. So look, let's look at the next Rishbam. For levit charitz, the hashda nami loy kovtza, sheha charitz marchika min hageder. The charitz goes and distances the chay min hageder, as well as it's now deeper into the ground. So what do I need the ben charitz for? Says the next Rishbam, because I did the ravach, since it's wide, shishit tvachim, nichneses letoich the chay, walks down into the charitz, and then pulls itself back a little bit, as if you're pulling on a bow and arrow. You pull back, and so here too, the sprinter, this chaya, is not going to jump from that the where it's standing, but it's going to move back a little bit, and now go in and sprint and go give a spring. Very good, and it's going to be kifetz. It's going to get to the top of the geder. So nochmo for levit charitz v'le levit ben charitz. The first two lines are over here, yeah. So, Aidi, the Ravach, since the Charitz is quite wide, 6 Tvachim, Kaima Begavei, it's going to stand in the Charitz, move back and drop, the Kofta is going to give a spring and get to the top of the Getter. Okay, so that's what I need now, the Ben Charitz. Frey Timura, the Levit Ben Charitz, Vele Levit Charitz, Vedafum the Charitz. The Ben Charitz, since it's only 3 Tvachim, you don't have this Svara that it's Ravach, that he'll be able to go and give it. He won't be able to walk back to 3 tefachim. He only has 3 tefachim altogether. So who needs a charitz for? So Timur, I did the cotton. Since it's so narrow that it's only 3 tefachim, kaimas vasei, it's going to go to the top of the ben charitz, and it's going to stand on the top. Instead of standing in down in the below, it's in depth, it's going to stand on top of the surface.
At the edge.
And then the cuffs it. Then it's going to go and jump. And therefore, that's why I need both the ben charitz. To look at the next Rishbam, kaimas vasei hachitoin, it's going to go on the outer edge, not on the inner edge, because there's not enough room to give a spring. But it's going to go on the outer edge and give a spring from there. So that's why we have to distance the ben charitz more than the charitz. So then, getting back to the Gemara here in the bottom, Tana, the last line of the Amud Beis, charitz mi bachutz, uben charitz mi befnim, v'zeh v'zeh achori geder. you have the Geder, then right next to it you have the Ben Charitz, which is Mibafnim, and then you have the Charitz, which is Mibachot. So since the Charitz happens to be far away, it's not going to be able to go and jump up so far. Since the Ben Charitz is very narrow, that's not going to do the trick, because then the animal is going to stand in back of the Ben Charitz at the edge and jump up. So now we have both the Charitz and the Ben Charitz, and that will prevent the Chaya from effectively being able to jump to the top. Zok Yimara, Mekama Ben Charitz le Ben Charitz. What's the difference between in distance between Ben Charitz and the Charitz? Is a Tefach. And therefore, that's what you're going to give him, the Mokam Ageder. Then you're going to go and give him a Ben Charitz of 3 Tvachim. You're going to give him a surface area of 1 Tefach. And then give him a Charitz of 6 Tvachim. And all of that will prevent the Chaya from being able to go.
So
and
Walden is on the Mocher side of the property.
Mocher side of the
property. Geder, Ben Charitz.
And the Charitz.
Thank you.
Very good.
I love this.
It's good.